If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. I want to begin reading in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And I'm just going to stop right there. Let me read you this. Chris Cunningham wrote a couple of sentences here I jotted down. The Bible is not God's love letter to mankind. The Bible is not our instruction manual for life or any of those other cute sayings you want to use. The scriptures are God's revelation of himself and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The perfection, the purpose, the plan, and the execution of God's work are all recorded in God's word. Now, the Bible does not, this is me now, the Bible does not sugarcoat the awfulness of sin. Or our sins. The Bible clearly tells us of the deadly consequences of sin in the cost and the payment for our sins. The ultimate payment was necessary. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus Christ was promised, he was prophesied, and he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. He laid down his life for his people. He died a horrible death. And he ascended from the grave. Raised from the grave. And ascended to God with his blood. And God accepted his sacrifice and offering as our substitute. Therefore, by him, we are healed. Now, this is a way that grace and faith establish the law. This is a way it does. The awfulness of sin required the awfulness of Christ's death. Because the law had been broken by us, not by him. And yea, we do establish the law by telling, preaching how he came and paid this ultimate price for our justification, for our redemption, for our very life. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works. But here we go. Now, this is Paul's message in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 of true godly love. Not what is Earl used to call it, L-U-V. This is true godly love. And Paul, this is one of the astonishing things here. In the first three verses, Paul makes this personal. Now, this is the letter to the Corinthians. Paul had been telling the Corinthians they needed to correct some things. There were some things they needed to fix. There were some bad things that happened in Corinth. And Paul was saying, y'all need to stop this. But here, when he gets to this, he gets this and makes this extremely personal. He says, though I speak with the tongue of men and angels. That's verse 1. And I have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Says, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and I have all faith, so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, it profited me nothing without charity, without love. That's the word, love. See, Paul is writing to others. He's writing to the church at Corinth, but here, right here in this chapter, he names himself. No one is exempt from this, not even the apostles. This is the truth. Paul is telling us we all need the love of God, the true godly love. And then he goes on to give this description in verse 4. He starts, charity suffereth long. Love suffers long. What's that mean? It means that love is patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't boast. Do you ever worry about people who gush? If you know what I mean. I love you. I think that's part of Earl's L-U-V word. Oh, I just love everybody. I don't. Sometimes I'm ashamed to say that. Sometimes I'm not. But this is the truth of it. People who gush about how much they love and how much they care and how much, they bother me. They bother me because I'm not that way. But here's the thing. True godly love does not boast. Amen. Does not boast. It suffers long. It's patient. It's kind. It's kind. And love doesn't envy. Oh. Paul told us this. But here's the thing that got me too. I'll get to my subject here in a minute. Love does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked and thinketh no evil. Now, here's the thing. If you do any of these things, that's you, not the love of God. It's you. It's me. It's me. I'm not going to go into that. Here's another point, very quickly. Love rejoices not in iniquity. Now, neither their own or others. You understand, love doesn't rejoice in other people getting caught. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity at all. And this is something that I have to be careful about. Because here, love believes that iniquity is an offense against God. No matter who does it. Love knows that a sin, iniquity, is an offense against a holy God. And love grieves over iniquity, whosoever it is. But sometimes, and I have to admit being guilty of this, some people, and myself included, sometimes delight in being a bad boy. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not love. And I've heard testimony meetings where I used to be a rounder, as I think Henry Mahan put it. I used to be a drunk. I used to be this, and I used to be that. And you listen to them talk, and it sort of seems like they kind of miss the good old days.
Yeah.
That's not love. That's not love. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. You're to remember the pit from which you are digged. You're not supposed to hang around there. You're not supposed to go there. Just remember it. Don't go there. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. But here's a wonderful thing. Love does rejoice in truth.
Amen.
In truth. Oh, that's good. Because here's the thing. Love believes the truth. Love believes the truth. Love knows the truth. And here's something else. Love is happy, joyous in hearing His truth. The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love is happy to know the truth. Love rejoices in the truth. And if you rejoice in hearing the Word of God, in hearing His word preached, in hearing Christ preached and proclaimed and extolled. That's love. That's love. Love does rejoice in the truth. Love bears all things. There's nothing too hard for true love. Love will bear the burdens of others, and love will bear the burden of others. And love will be concerned and pray for others because love wants the best for others. And here's the thing. Love will help where he can. But this is the thing that got me. This is the statement that got me. I've heard this. I don't know how many times I've read this chapter. I don't know how many times I've heard this. Somebody read it, quoted. And I was listening to a message of him, going to work, listening to a message by Henry Mahan, and he read that. He just read this off. He was just, it was part of his message, but it wasn't his message. But here's the thing he said, and I to be honest, I couldn't remember it. Love believes all things. And I thought about that, and I thought about that. And I said, it stopped me, Mac. It stopped me. I had to think about it. And there I was at work, and I couldn't do a lot of thinking of it, but I called up, you know, and I marked it on my Bible program just to make sure I wouldn't forget it. Love believes all things. Now, let me be clear from the beginning. Paul is not writing that love believes everything it's told. Okay? Paul is not writing that love believes anything everybody says. Because this is true. It's not in here, but I'll tell you this because it does tell you. Love is not gullible. Love is discerning. You understand? What did he say just before this? Love rejoiceth not in iniquity and rejoiceth in the truth. Love is discerning. The true love of God is discerning. It knows the difference between iniquity and the truth.
Amen.
Love knows the difference between error and the truth. Mm-hmm. Love is saying, and this is the way I liked what Gil put it. Paul is saying that love believes all things that are to be believed. Love believes what it's to be believed. Love believes the truth. Why? Because love, what? Rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. So love must know the truth. Love believes all scripture, even when you don't understand it.
Amen.
That happens. It happens. Love believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is all his salvation. Love believes that Jesus Christ is sovereign. Love believes that Jesus Christ is righteous, and love believes that Jesus Christ is holy. Love believes all things. And love believes all things are of God. Love believes not that Jesus Christ is victorious. Love believes that Jesus Christ is the victory.
Amen.
He is the victory. I like that. Love believes all things that are to be believed. And love believes that God is love. He alone is the source of all love. John said it in 1 John 4 and 7. You don't have to turn there. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, from God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, here's something else I want to tell you. Because this is what it got me. So, love believeth all things. I got to thinking about it. Love is never alone. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and here it is, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I said it before just a little while ago, God is the source of all true love. Love in you comes from God, the Holy Spirit. Understand, I remember when you said this a while back, Walter, years ago. It says the fruit of the Spirit. Understand? One fruit. One Spirit. One fruit. Then it says love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Love is never alone. That's the problem with people who gush. Love's all they got. They don't have any knowledge. Love's all they got. They don't have any meekness. And I don't know about the love they got. First of all, notice this. First listed in the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. And with love comes joy, comes peace, comes long-suffering, comes gentleness, comes goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Love is never alone. Love is never alone. Love comes with joy and peace and patience and gentleness and faith. The love believes all things. How? By faith. By faith. The gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, let me say one thing. This is about, where Paul is writing here, this is about true godly love. True godly love. And God's love and his gift, the fruit of the Spirit, is perfect. But we are not. We are not. So if you're worried about how you may feel and how you act, if you're afraid you do not love as you should, I'll tell you one word. Good. Good. I'm glad you feel bad. I'm glad you worry. You understand? Because here's the thing. The world doesn't worry about how it feels. People who gush about their love aren't worried about whether they love enough. That kind of confidence is deadly. True love is from God and is perfect, but we are not perfect. Understand? If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, his love is shed abroad in your heart, if you truly believe him. And you still have the old man inside, and so do I. You can look at Romans chapter 7 and you can read about a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Because that battle still goes on. And I can tell you this right now, you can't win. You can't win. You cannot exercise, remove the old man. You can't. But I thank God through Jesus Christ. He's the victory.
Amen.
He's the victory. I'm not the victory. He is. And everything that I do have, I owe to Him. I owe Him. But here it is. Love believes and is sure that Jesus Christ has won. Has won. Because love's victory is in Christ Jesus. And we believe Him. Now, for conclusion, it's a pretty long conclusion, I want to tell you some more things that love believes. Because it says love believes all things. And I just got this list running in my head and I started writing stuff down. First and foremost of all, before anything else, love believes the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
The source of true love and true faith, God manifest in the flesh. The Lord, love believes who He is and what He said. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. In the truth. Oh, I like that. Love believes that His word is true. Love believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is God and was God and was with God in the beginning. Love believes that God is love, and love believes that Jesus Christ is the light. Love believes that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him.
Amen.
Love believes Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, born of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Why? So that those He redeemed would receive the adoption of sons. Oh, I like that. I do. Let me tell you something. Love believes whosoever will. Isn't that swell? Well, everybody believes whosoever will. No, they don't. No, they don't. They may think they do, but they don't. Because here's something else love believes. Love believes in whosoever won't. Because if there's a whosoever will, there's a whosoever won't. Because love believes that there is a narrow way and a straight gate. What? And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Matter of fact, love believes you will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ that you might have life. You want to know why? Because Jesus Christ said that Himself.
Amen.
You will not come to Me that you might have life. And love also believes that all the Father gives to the Son shall come to the Son.
Amen.
All that the Father gave to Christ will come to Christ. And love believes that no man can come except the Father which has sent Him draw him. And they shall come to Christ. They shall. You understand? Love believes no man can come. Love believes that you will not come. And love believes that some shall come. Now, some people think that's a paradox or a contradiction. No, it's the truth.
Amen.
It's the truth. Because here's something else love believes. Love believes that thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Love believes the election of grace. The election of grace. Love believes that Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I know a lot of people stumble over that. But that's their problem, not the Scripture's problem. That's what it says, Old Testament and New. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Does it really matter when it was said? If it's true, and it is true. Here. Excuse me. Love believes that the Lord Jesus Christ has other sheep that are not a part of this fold. And love believes that he must bring them. Why? Because he said so. Them I must bring. Love believes that election is not salvation, but it's unto it. Unto salvation. Here's something else love believes. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. Love believes all that. You understand, the love believes the Lord Jesus Christ is calling his people unto himself. Every single one that the Father gave to him. And the Lord, love believes that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them eternal life. And love also believes that eternal life is eternal. Amen. Not temporary. It's everlasting. Here's one. Love believes that he is free from the law and its curse. And love believes all believers are under the commandments of Christ. The commandments of Christ. Because love believes the commandments of Christ. Number one, commandments of Christ. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ. And number two, love the brethren. That's our commands. That's our commandments right there. That's as close as I'll get to being under the law ever again. And I can't do that well. The little I can do, it's because he works in me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But anyhow, I am under the commandments of Christ. I'm told. Love believes this. He that does not love his brother abides in death. That's what it says. Love believes that he that does not have true love doesn't know God.
Amen. That's right.
For God is love. God is love. But love also believes the love of God is shed abroad in the hearts of every single believer. Love believes one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And these three are one. Are one. Love believes that all things are of Jesus Christ, and by him all things consist, exist, are now. What? He created everything that was made. He is preeminent above all. And in all things, he has the preeminence. All things consist by him. William Gatsby wrote this verse. Precious Spirit, make us see love immense beyond degree. Now and when beneath the flood, fill us with the love of God. I like that. Love believes all things. All things. You understand, I've kind of come to a bit of a conclusion. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've kind of come to the conclusion of the fact of that being, the longer I live, the more I learn, the more He is and the less I am.
Amen.
That's what it comes to. You know? He's my wisdom. He's my righteousness. He's my sanctification. And He's my redemption. What else do I need?
Right.
That's everything. And He loves me. And He's given us all His believers. He's given us His love. And love believes all things that are to be believed. I do like that. I do like that. God has given us His Son. And His Son has given us His love.
Amen.
Through His Spirit. Love, joy, peace. Everything comes from Him. All good things, all perfectness come down from the Father of lights. In whom there's no, not even a shadow of turning. No variableness, and not even a shadow of turning. He gives you something, you've got it, whether you know it or not. His love is just like Himself, eternal, eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for this time and this place. Most of all, Lord, thankful to You. God, You've given us everything. When You gave us Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, You have given us all things, all blessings, just a chance to see His glory and His work and His will and His way in this world. And You have touched our souls with life and given unto us the adoption of sons. Thank You, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.